For decades, the conservation movement in the Northeast has focused on protecting forests. Some scientists suggest that by concentrating on forests, bird species that need other kinds of habitat are endangered. They say that open land is in short supply, and that's led to a dangerous decline in the bird species that depend on it. From WNPR in Hartford, Nancy Cohen reports.
Unlike people who can choose the city over the country or a Victorian house over a ranch, each bird species requires a certain habitat. Take the American woodcock, whose mating ritual takes place only in open meadows from April through June. This insistent song is the opening act of an elaborate courtship display, which calls for an open sky unobstructed by trees so the female can observe the male as he spirals as high as 300 feet, then dives down near his original spot to call again. Without the big stage of fields like this one in Connecticut, these birds have a tough time getting together to reproduce. Robert Askins, a zoologist from Connecticut College, says in the Northeast, much of this open habitat has been developed or has grown into forest. About a decade ago, he realized that birds who depend on it were in danger of disappearing.
A lot of other researchers had the same revelation at about the same time. It just took a while for it to sink in because I think we were so used to being focused on forest as the prime habitat to save in eastern North America.
Today, the U.S. Geological Survey estimates about 60% of bird species that nest in grassy fields are threatened, and more than a third of the birds which need shrubby habitat, such as the woodcock, are declining. The focus on saving forests grew out of a legacy of tree cutting that dates back to the time when the first European settlers cleared much of the Northeast for farming. Over time, the farms were abandoned and the trees grew back. Today, 80% of New England is forested. Askins doesn't support cutting mature forests to protect birds, but he suggests land which is already open be kept open.
It's not that we have to recreate the proportion of this habitat for 1620 or some other magical year, but we should maintain enough of the habitat to sustain viable populations of all the species that were native to eastern North America.
Dan McCauley, a wildlife biologist with the USGS, says one of the few places where shrub-loving birds still thrive is along the northern rim of New England, on paper and timber company clear cuts.
Right there's a Nashville warbler. I've heard magnolia warblers. There's chestnut-sided warblers that like this habitat.
Right after trees are cut, the land is open. A few years later, new saplings and stems grow thickly out of the stumps and roots left behind. This early successional habitat, as it's called, gives shrubland birds space and protection from predators. But in southern New England, there are few commercial forests, and McCauley says smaller landowners want to protect their own piece of the woods.
If you want to get or create more early successional habitat, you really have to get some of these private landowners to start thinking about cutting on their properties.
And that's going to be a challenge. Not all ecologists think cutting trees is the answer. Jonathan Carter of the Forest Ecology Network and a candidate in the governor's race in Maine claims it's not a lack of cleared land that's hurting these birds.
If they're declining, it's not due to the lack of open habitat. It's due to a lot of other very pernicious environmental factors that humans are responsible for.
Carter argues that acid rain, global warming, and pesticides could be the reasons shrubland birds are declining. Michael Kellett of Restore the North Woods, a group which is also fighting to protect forests, says what's driving the concern for open habitat is human arrogance.
You need to get away from just thinking about what humans want right now. You know, we want more woodcock, to thinking about what's a healthy environment, what's a healthy ecosystem. And we know that old growth forests are healthy ecosystems. They operate on their own. They don't need us. The land doesn't need us to manage it.
Robert Askins, who has been following the impact of habitat loss on bird species, says leaving forests alone makes sense only if there are natural disturbances, such as fire, insects, and beavers, things that used to kill trees naturally. These are now so tightly controlled that forests rarely open up on their own.
Removing disturbances is a human manipulation, and you either have to restore that or simulated in order to have a fully functioning ecosystem.
Wildlife ecologist Jack Barkley of the University of Connecticut in Storrs agrees. He's advising a hunting club in Connecticut to open up 15 to 20% of its 3,000 acres along the Hammonasset River.
This is taking really a stand of forest habitat and cutting them right back to the ground, where we'll have grass and woody sprouts coming up from these stumps and creating a shrubland type habitat within just a few years.
Come here, right in here. That's a dog. Come here.
Club member Larry Timmerman is walking the woods with his hunting dog, Purdy. He points out that although the woodcock is a game bird, club members aren't saving it to shoot it. They've banned hunting it here.
We're setting up these open spaces on either side of the river, all the way up and down the whole 9 miles of it. So I kind of like to think of it as a woodcock flyway. I don't know if there is such a thing. But they have a singing ground, they have swamp to find their worms in, they have blueberry bushes they can hide in.
Similar ways of managing land are finding some support on the federal level. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is drafting an American Woodcock Conservation Plan, which calls for protecting open habitat and, in some cases, cutting trees to stop the decline of woodcock populations. But for now, there's little agreement on how or if we should restore New England's declining bird species. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Cohen.